Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports. It's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just choning on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive. Bit season, couple of regular guys. It's bit season, go have yourself a laugh. It's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Welcome to Bit Season, episode 47. I am Matt Valdez.
And I'm Ryan the Stallion.
If you'll notice that it is a two-man Bit Season show.
It is.
This Thursday, this week. And that's because Drabby is in Disney. I want to keep record that this is my second time hosting Bit Season without Drab.
It is.
Actually, it might be the third. But for the record, I am keeping score.
Mm-hmm.
The dedication, 3, Drabby, 0.
And he might even get negative points because the vacation that he's taken, that is a tough one.
I mentioned it on the Junks today that we did a lot of joning on Cakes for his Disney trip. He caught a lot of shrapnel.
Of course.
Because Disney it's a weird adult trip.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you think of Disney, you think of your youth and childhood and all the movies you grew up watching. You think of animated flicks. You think of amusement parks. And that all coincides with being young and being a child. And Drab, for whatever reason, jet-setted down there to be with his brother and I get where there's his
nephews or nieces, whatever, a mix of them both.
Wouldn't you say that's a super weird trip to do?
Of course it is. I mean, first off, he was talking about, I think that they live in Texas. And so,
yeah, I mentioned that it's not like they're living in Alaska.
Exactly. And he was like, oh, so they're going to be on the East Coast. So I'm flying down there. I checked the flight. It's a 2-hour flight to Orlando and a 2.5-hour flight to Dallas.
You know what? I'm glad you checked the flight because I was thinking in my head, I said, well, how much longer of a flight is it to Dallas than it is to Orlando? And it's only a half hour?
It's only a half hour difference.
So he's using this excuse to go to Disney?
Exactly. I think there's something a little deeper into this. Something that maybe he wants to solve in his childhood.
It's one of two things for Drab. One, he wants to go to Disney.
Yeah.
And then the entire joning on cakes is a sham. All right. Because Drab is a 40-year-old man and he's going down and he's using this as an excuse to go to Disney. Red flag. Also, he's sick and tired of his kids screaming at him and he wants a vacation from his kids and his wife. So it's either one or the other or a combination of both.
Of course it has to be. It's two young twins. We met them. They're great. They were actually really well behaved at Topgolf, by the way.
Drab missed his calling because he should have been in sales. Because I don't know how you would sell this to your wife by going, Hey, hon, my brother's going to be in town. I never get to see my brother. It's a 2.5-hour trip to them, but it's only 2 hours now for us. So let me go down and visit him and Disney. I'll be gone for about 4 or 5 days.
Let me soak in the sun and the palm trees because I got to visit my brother.
Let me stick you with the kids. All right, you go take care of them. You got to get up with them and put them to bed at night.
You'll be okay.
Don't worry, I'll FaceTime and check in. And he's probably FaceTiming with his Mickey Mouse ears.
Yeah. And his lullaby at night.
Yeah, doing his lullaby at night and his Mickey Mouse ears. And he's singing to his kids, M-I-C, K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-C.
His soft, soothing voice.
And I will say that Drab, don't let him fool you. Drab was so excited for this trip. He was planning out his route throughout the parks the entire week. And he's asking Cakes for intel, going, all right, which rides should I avoid? Which rides do I need to be on?
This intel, this is shocking because he is such a sham for taking a shit on Cakes about going to Disney. Right. And all of this, for the entire time, he has been looking forward to this trip forever.
I know. That's why he went so hard on him. Because if he was being light, then you knew that Drab wasn't joning on Cakes because he was looking forward to the trip as well. And so what he did was Drab overcompensated by joning on Cakes because he knew his trip was going to be a blast for him.
Yeah, and that's just still that rubs me the wrong way.
Have you ever gone to Disney?
Yeah, I have. When I was like when I was a kid with my parents, just like the normal trip.
Well, we didn't know any better back then.
Yeah, I mean,
we didn't my parents took me to the parks. I wasn't picking out all the stuff I wanted to do.
No.
Although I got so psyched for Five Will Goes West.
Same. Oh, yeah.
That silly water park. Oh, I loved it.
No, back in the one in Hollywood where they have the Cars exhibit. And this is actually when I was in high school and we had to go.
What is going on?
Okay. It wasn't Disney, my choice.
How did Disney make this push into teenager, early 20s, even up to adulthood?
I mean, okay, we were there
how
for
make
a
this
wedding.
Transition?
And it, oh, a it wedding? Was just, I guess it was there for a wedding, not at Disney, obviously, but we were there in California for a wedding. And so you had to do the basic Hollywood trip, going to Disney World or Disneyland, whichever one that is. And then you go on the...
It's Disneyland, isn't it?
I always get them confused.
I think it's land.
Disneyland is in LA.
Why is that one so inferior to Disney World, the one in Florida?
I mean, don't they have the Hollywood Tower, the drop tower there? What is it called? The infamous LA drop tower? I don't know.
Tower of Terror?
Tower of Terror.
Is that
a thing?
I thought that was like a Busch Gardens King's Dominion thing.
I thought it was Disneyland as well. I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
But Disneyland gets the short end of the stick. Couldn't they do a? They could do a whole Disneyland out there.
They could, but like, it's just, I don't know.
Who wants to go to hot ass Orlando in the middle of summer?
And the humidity
of Orlando.
And plus, I mean, like a few years ago, I'm never stepping foot in the waters there in Orlando after what happened there at Disney World. I mean,
with the gator thing.
Like, I mean, there is a gator on the loose there. Drad's got to be careful. Like, I'm actually concerned now.
But we'll get a recap from him, and he can kind of explain himself when he gets back. Also, when he gets back, I say it's a big announcement. Drab says it's a medium announcement. Mm. So we'll debate the announcement next week. I just didn't think it would be fair for us for Bit Season to talk about it without him here.
Yes.
So you're going to want to stay tuned. For that next week, we will be giving a big, big show announcement.
Yes, we're announcing an announcement for next week.
We're announcing an announcement.
So it's a big show next week.
Yeah, put it on your calendar. Yeah. Next week's Bit Season, we'll have some solid content.
It'll be fun.
it will be fun. A couple of things from the junks this week. I was shocked to see JP was late again.
Yep.
It's so weird because it turned from JP almost having compassion because JP didn't confide in me that they've just been having trouble sleeping. And maybe that's because Drab's a dad and I'm not a father. And so he's commiserating with them. And I got to the point where I was feeling sorry for JP.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that was his intention was for everyone to feel bad for him. But when he was bringing up how his daughter was having problems sleeping and it's like a nightly thing that's going on, you know, I was like, oh, man, this sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the last thing you want to hear. But when he was late this week, oh, my God, I was floored. All right. And we actually called that he was going to be late as soon as everyone else started coming in late.
Mm-hmm.
See, unlike everyone else, I'm up so early that I just beat everyone here.
Yeah.
They don't realize that. I'm here by 5 o'clock at the latest.
Yeah.
And so it's a half hour till I see anyone who strolls through the doors. But when Drab all of a sudden is coming in like at 5:30, 5-ish,
mm-hmm.
I go, uh-oh, something's going on. And then he told me how there was a huge backup. Some roads were closed. Eric didn't get until like 5:45. And JP's always that guy who cuts everything so short.
Mm-hmm.
He's always pushing the envelope in terms of when he's coming in.
Yeah.
Everyone just called it, said, oh, JP's going to be late. And then that's when we sprung the 3 B's to the guys. And the guys seem pretty into that.
Yeah. I mean, he's already on his second strike now, so he owes the guys beanies.
Yeah, so technically he is strike one. He could be strike two, because remember he overslept when he was putting Isabella down, and this was the second time. But we are starting from square one since we've instituted the 3B ruling, and the guys are into it. And for beanies, it doesn't have to be something for the winter. It can be just a regular hat. And then we need JP to agree to the payments. All right. Because that's the final thing. And I think that is a very fair punishment.
It is. Like here, think of it this way.
Look, we've all had problems coming into
work. Of course.
Whatever it is, but you know, not everyone's perfect, but that's why you have three strikes. This is our version of three strikes.
Yes.
So would you be okay with that? If all of a sudden you had to fork out, it would be, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4, close to $500 extra if you're late.
Of course I would. I mean, like, it's the third strike. You have a whole year to get, you have two days to be late, in my opinion, before it gets to a third with the payment.
Uh-huh.
That third strike is a rough one.
Yeah, so, but wouldn't you be on edge? Because you...
Of course.
You've had freak accidents where your tire's blown out.
Yes. Like, on the highway where I had my tire blow out, I was there with pickup trucks just whizzing on by me. That was a rough one. But I think... The thing is, coming in the morning, it's a little tougher because You're waking up at like what, 5 a.m. those guys, 4:30?
Yeah, they're around 4:30, 4:45-ish.
So I think some days should be a little more lenient than the other, if you're understanding what I'm saying.
No, explain that.
Like, so some things are just out of your control. Like, let's say GW Parkway floods up. That happens a lot. That's not out of the ordinary. I've been stuck in that as well.
Okay.
But that's just an out of the ordinary situation. Now, in this one where he was just running late over traffic, that's something you could look up. Click in Google Maps, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, like if a tree falls on your car,
or
a branch falls on your car, then you have issues. But here's the problem is that it looks bad.
It does.
Like, you know, this is a major market show.
Mm-hmm.
Radio show.
The face of the fan.
Like Annie Yu's not showing up late to her gig on WUSA 9.
Nope.
So why does it happen to why is it okay for it to happen to JP, but not any other newscasters in the area?
It's not. It's simply not okay.
Do you know what JP's doing now?
Because what's he doing?
He's felt embarrassed.
Yeah.
And he's admitted that on air twice now.
I've listened, yeah.
The second time he admitted that he was embarrassed as well. So in typical JP fashion. All right, JP he loves to take things to the extreme.
Yep.
So instead of, and the easiest compromise would be, all right, set your alarm 20 minutes earlier. I think that's a great compromise.
Of course.
So you want to know what JP's doing to make sure that he's here on time now?
Let me hear it.
He's getting here at 4:45 to go work out downstairs the show. I swear to God.
He's getting here at 4:45.
He's getting here at 4, like it wouldn't be okay to just set your alarm an extra 15 minutes. He has to take it to the extreme where he's doing bicep curls and running 4 miles downstairs on the treadmill before doing the show in the morning.
We need to do like a Skip Bayless bit where he's posting videos of his workouts before taking on Shannon Sharp.
Because he walked in one day and he was just sweating. And JP, what are you doing? You all right? You know,
had to run work.
I thought he was like having a stroke.
Oh,
all right. I mean, he's an older male. You sweating? Like, you having a heart attack? I don't know what's going on. It looks like you had the meat sweats. All right. And he rubs his forehead. And he goes, oh no, I just finished my workout in the morning. I go, workout? What? What are you doing? I mean, he's such an alien. And it's just, God bless him.
Because
it's not like he could easily work out after the show.
Easily.
I know. But he's just, I think he's just doing this out of stubbornness to like prove a point that he can be here at 4:45.
He goes, Michael Jordan, and I took that personal. Yeah. And he comes in at 4:45.
Yeah, we challenged him to be here on time. And so now, so you know, it's so funny is that he still shows up like 5 minutes before the thing starts. Yeah, but that's because he's getting a shower downstairs, you know, in the gym.
that's actually hilarious.
And so now if I gotta go talk to him about show stuff in the morning, I gotta go down and run next to him on the treadmill and say, hey, what do we want to do for QB quarter up?
He's just mowing along there on the treadmill. That's actually really funny.
He probably wakes up half of DC with his big stomping feet that he does because he runs like a Clydesdale.
Sounds like the New York City.
So that's I thought I'd give you that tidbit because I think it's his third day of doing it because he was late on Monday or Tuesday.
He was late Monday, I believe.
Monday. So this is so it's his third day of now working out in the morning downstairs.
That's great bit though. I'm not gonna lie.
God bless him. There's no way that I could do it because I wake up so early. Like I would literally have to wake up at 2 or 2:30.
I know.
To go work out before coming into work. But God bless him.
I know. And you know, it's kind of funny. It's like, I feel like everyone in this building has like made like a truth with someone to be like, hey, we're going to work out after the show today.
Oh, I know.
We're like in the free gym.
Drab does that all the time. It's the flavor of the week for him. All of a sudden he'll be shamed. Mm-hmm. He'll be body shamed somehow. And then he bullied Lindsey John into bringing kettlebells in. So now we have kettlebells in the producer room. And then Drab's going, how do you do these? I go, I don't know. I know like four different exercises you could do. Here, show me. And so I show him. And so now, like between commercial breaks, he'll pick up a kettlebell and he'll start doing a lift. And then John does, all right, we're going to do this every break, every day. And then Drab ended up getting out of it and go, I don't want to be sore for Disney. I better slow down on the lifting.
My biceps might get too big. Yeah, I might be able to fit in the roller coaster.
I don't want my legs to be sore for Disney. There's a lot of walking going on. I can't have this lactic acid in my legs. So, but I've worked out with Drab before downstairs, and I don't know.
Danny Ruye is mine. Like, we've always been like, we're going to do it today. Today's the day. And then we just never speak of it again.
I like just doing it by myself.
Same. Not, you know,
I don't like joint practices.
I don't either. Because it applies pressure to me. And I don't like that.
I don't know. It's supposed to hold you accountable.
It does. But then it also like gives me anxiety. Like, what if this guy, what if Danny is thinking like, look at this tub of goo right here.
I know. That's why Drab always hated working out with me. And I don't. So he would think I would judge him about how much he lifted. And honestly, I really don't care. I just want to get the dumb thing over with.
Yes.
And then I just hated it because I wanted to do it at my own pace.
Yes. And that's another thing. And your own music, too. My you want to have your earbuds in. You don't want to have someone in your ear.
We were down there with the portable Bluetooth speaker with me and Dre.
The Odyssey speaker.
Yeah, with the Odyssey speaker. In our Stringer t-shirts, working out together, and playing new 99 new metal. Back and forth, high five. Yeah, we did that for about 2 weeks, and then that ended pretty quickly.
And they just never speak of it again. Just never acknowledge it until it comes up in a later day.
So it's so funny. We also brought a bench thing in here.
Yeah, yeah. COVID,
and we got completely screamed at by management.
I got size for that.
I know. I got size, too, because I don't know what it was. But it was a good setup, meaning like the area felt good. I felt strong in there. And then I put up a record number of 225 in front of Drab. All right. And then we started looking at all the combines and seeing everyone how stronger than. Yeah. Right. And then all of a sudden after that, Drab would never lift with me after that ever again. He felt completely emasculated. Yeah.
He got so scared.
I said, Drab, I also weigh more than you. Like. Yeah.
So it's all good. No.
Speaking of weight, all right, I want to talk about final meals.
Yes.
Which was a topic on the Junkies when they were talking about this inmate in Alabama who was set for, not the electric chair, but lethal injection.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of Law Abiding Citizen, where he swapped out the lethal injection for something else. Yeah. But anyways, this was a three-hour ordeal that the inmate had to go through where, I don't know, they couldn't find a vein or whatever they were injecting wasn't working. Mm-hmm. But also, they talked about his final meal. And the final meal was broiled salmon with potatoes.
Yeah, so bad.
And so that had all the jugs talking about their final meals and everything. And the guys, I don't know what it is, but the guys have this weird palate that they have now. And I don't know if it comes with age or what, but none of them were being exotic with their final meals or anything like that.
I don't understand that either. Like, for a final meal for me, it's an easy one. A T-bone steak going out, and then I'm going to have like a baked potato with extra sour cream, extra cheese, and bacon bits on top, and then something sweet, you know?
Do jails have a menu?
I mean, for lack of a better word, menu. I'm weird like this. I've actually watched a documentary on this, and it's basically anything.
It actually fascinates me.
It's basically anything. Like, you can choose from anything to what you can get at a grocery store. Okay, your local
grocery store, or like, what if you know, like, if you love Aussie rolls, all right, and you're in Loudoun County Penitentiary. Yeah. All right. Are you able to get on some Aussie rolls from a great American restaurant?
I think that you can have like a McDonald's Big Mac.
Why are we catering to these heathens who are on death row to begin with?
I don't know, honestly. That's actually a good point. Like, why do they get the pick?
They got a child killer.
Yeah.
Who is about to hit the electric chair. Yeah. Why are we giving this person foie gras on top of their steak?
Here, actually, I just came up with this theory. I feel like it's probably with, like, the guards there or something. Maybe it makes them feel good to where, like, they're not giving them slop on their way out to where they won't be haunted by this guy. Because think about it. I mean, I don't know.
You think
it's like one last deed. Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That Ted Bundy's going to be haunting them in their dream.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
I just don't understand why we're wasting. Like, where's this money come from to acquire the steak?
Because
if I'm taxpayer Joe Schmo, and I'm
which we are
IRS don't yes. I'm knocking on our doors. I would feel bad if the county or the state is taking money out of my paycheck to make sure some serial killer has a loaded baked potato.
Yeah, exactly. I could care less about that loaded baked potato.
I don't want to have. You know, just give them the mess hall stuff. Give them an extra plate of slop.
Give them a mystery meat patty. Come on.
Yeah, do that. An extra cornbread.
Exactly. Have them eat at my Falls Church High School cafeteria lunch. That'll be an awful last meal.
But I'm sure it's always surf and turf. That has to be the go-to final meal for somebody. Almost for everybody.
I feel like it would have to be, but there's like people allergic to turf or like to seafood. That's right. Good point. It's a surf. But I feel like there's people allergic to shellfish.
Let me ask you a question. Are you able to kind of skirt the system and say you want all you can eat buffet and then all of a sudden take a break and then just keep it going over on and on and on and prolong your death sentence?
Well, I mean, I'm sure there's like a budget to something, but I could sneak my way in.
You want to know something, Ryan? I've told my buddies this, and I've been watching Blackbird on Apple TV, which is about a guy who gets sent to jail for drug trafficking. Oof. And he's got to coerce a confession from a child diddler.
Yes.
All right. And a child killer. And this person's having problems because he's in maximum security prison. And, you know, he was just, you know, dealing drugs.
Yeah.
It wasn't a hard crime.
Yeah.
And he's having problems adjusting. I keep telling my buddies, I think I would be an excellent prisoner.
you'd be able to find the ways.
I think prison is perfect for someone like me.
What makes you say that? Like, that feels like an awful thing to say.
I don't want to commit the crime, but I'm just saying out of everyone here, I could do the time best. And what I mean by that is I am very regimented. Mm-hmm. I'm a very scheduled person.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it's lights out, you know, mm-hmm. I'm ready for bed. And when the cell doors open at 6 a.m. for breakfast, I'm ready to go.
You're ready?
I can occupy myself. I don't need the companionship of other people, meaning I can read all day.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of doing sit-ups and push-ups and pull-ups and getting jacked.
Yeah, that's true.
All right? I like the idea of
pick up hoops. It's actually not that bad.
And working in the yard.
Yeah.
All right, working out in the yard. I feel like I would be excellent at if I was the cook, if I was in charge of that.
That'd be kind of nice.
Or doing laundry. I feel like I could do laundry. Although I don't know if I would want to do that because it's some dirty stuff there.
There is some dirty stuff. And I just don't even want to imagine what the socks are like there.
I can keep to myself. And I don't think I would bother anybody. So that's why I think I'd be a good prisoner.
Let me ask you this. What would be your favorite jail yard activity? Like what would be your go-to every day at noon? This is what I'm doing.
Well, obviously lift weights.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I would show off my power.
Okay. You try to out alpha.
And then if it's anything like Blackbird, I think I would want to take up something I'm not that familiar with, like bocce ball.
Oh.
Apparently bocce ball is hot in prison.
Hey, I love a good bocce ball.
I would be afraid to play basketball. Even though I played basketball growing up. That's not something I would do. because I feel like there'd be a lot of fights on the court.
Yeah.
All right. You're not allowed to call your own fouls.
Yeah. All right.
I got a problem with that.
They play the no blood, no foul.
Yeah, they play no blood, no foul. That's a no-go for me.
Exactly.
And then I feel like a lot of the confrontations would boil over into the mess hall.
Yeah.
And into the downtime.
And then I want
to avoid confrontation.
Yeah. I feel like I probably wouldn't talk to anyone if I was in jail. I'd be butt scared. I'd be a dog with my tail between the legs.
I know, but what if somebody comes up to you?
I'd be butt nervous. I'd be so scared.
Would you be willing to punch somebody in the face to show your dominance?
to assert
your dominance.
I would. You know, I probably would.
You know, you're the type of person that would end up being like the Latin king. Right. You have that goofy look to you.
No,
I could see you in the shower performing on the Latin king.
Oh, God, yeah.
in order to ensure your safety.
Oh God, I don't even want to think about that.
That's also another thing is that we've talked about it on the Junks before. I have no shame in terms of like pooping in front of other people. I've no shame showering in front of other people.
I don't either. That's fine for me.
It doesn't bother me.
The only problem
that I would have is the cleanliness.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not saying I'm some sort of clean freak.
Yeah.
But I would not want my hiney touching all these dirty little toilet bowls.
Right.
I don't want dirty forks, reusable plastic forks every single time I'm eating chow.
Yeah, that's so. Right. And then here's like my greatest fear about jail is they try to say that it's like fighting proof and everything and how they can
riot
defeat
proof.
It or riot proof.
Uh-huh.
That's so untrue. They have all these metal bars just sticking out all over the place. Someone's just going to smash my head in. That's what I feel like would happen.
I feel like I could make a good weapon. I could make a great shank.
Just pull one apart.
I would make a great shank. Also, I like the idea of card games.
Oh, yeah.
Poker's probably big in prison.
It has
half the
to
time.
Be.
I like the idea of playing cards.
I like that. So. Go fish or a little blackjack, put a little money on it.
Well, no, according to Rounders, you would play for cigarettes.
Oh.
Or you would play for commissary money.
Oh, hey, I could put a little black mile on there.
Yeah.
That'd be a little size.
That's big money.
Yeah,
that's
big money. Hey, they get size.
I don't know. I feel like I would have those jobs. Also, me and my buddy were talking about prison. Just because that's what it's a long story, but we had somebody have to do some time.
Though. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
It happens.
It happens. He got caught up in the law.
Yeah.
All right. But he texted me to rank these official prison jobs.
Okay. All right.
And it's very Shawshank.
All right.
All right. A cook/food prep, laundry service, cleaning/sweeping, license plate stamper, tax prep for the warden, very Shawshanky.
Yeah.
librarian, also Shawshanky. Roof tarer, Shawshanky.
Oh my God.
Prison bookie and prison snitch.
All right.
So I want to go through that with you. So. I think obviously the last is prison snitch.
Yeah. That's how you end up dead.
I think the easiest one has to be librarian.
The easiest one, but here's the thing. I'm going to zag where you zig.
Okay.
You got to keep your mind sharp. So you kind of want a harder activity. And so, you know what? I'm going to go with like the cleaner, the janitor or something like that.
What do you mean you got to, you're saying you're getting soft by
being a librarian with all those words, you're going to be stuck in your head. I need to be looking at something to where it's like, oh, there's a brown spot over there. There's a duty stain in the toilet. I got to go clean that.
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather check in books and check out books than dealing with duty stains?
I mean, yeah, but like still you got to keep your mind sharp and then just do what you got to do.
I will say that one of the downsides of being a librarian would be the inmates taking all the National Geographic and seeing the titty pictures, right? And then whacking it to the titty pictures, and you got sticky pages that you got to deal with. I will say that is a downside that I've thought about that I would not be happy to do. Now, but think about it. You got to deal with messy stuff in all these jobs.
Of course.
All right, but do you really want to deal with semen?
I deal with my own.
Librarian's my number one. Apparently, it's not yours. Yours is the cleaning slash.
Yes. Keep my mind sharp.
Keep my mind sharp. I don't. Your reasoning is just over my head. No. Your mind would be sharp by reading all day long.
Because it requires focus. Focus to clean.
Focus.
You have a task.
You just feel like you clean your time away.
Yeah, I would clean my time
away. You would be bored in front of books
and
all day.
Think about it. The prison always needs cleaning. I've never seen a clean prison.
Laundry. I wouldn't mind doing laundry again. Eh. Duty stains, sweaty clothes.
It's a little worse than duty stains. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Also, all the chemicals. Dealing with all the chemicals. So if somebody's out to get you in like Shawshank, they would throw the chemicals on you. So I don't know about that one.
My second one, honestly, I think I'd go with the roof tar. Because then you'd be on the top of the roof getting outside. You know, that's probably time towards you're put away to work, you know, and you get to spend it outside.
That's what they say. It's Shawshank. Nothing makes you feel like you're tarring your own roof.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a man on a building.
A man's man.
With a bottle of suds.
Exactly.
I said tax prep for the warden.
Oh.
Because obviously if you're doing a favor for the warden's going to do a favor for you.
But then what if you don't do a good job at that favor for the warden?
I would make sure that his taxes are money.
Right. First, I don't even know how to do taxes.
I don't either. I rely on TurboTax. And I just hope for a big check mark after I give them all my information.
I just hope for four digits at the beginning of the number.
but if the inmates see you being buddy-buddy with the warden, you're a target. Yeah, they might think you're a snitch. License plate stamper. That seems like an easy one to me.
Your mind, man. It's not good enough for the mind. You're going to go crazy.
Go crazy printing license plates.
I feel like it.
And then this is an interesting one. Prison bookie.
Mm.
All right. So if there's a fight in the yard, you're taking odds on it.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Or you're like Red and Shawshank and you got to figure out which one's going to squeal first, which new prisoner will squeal first. But that's also another thing is, so what are you going to do? What are you going to do if nobody pays you?
And that's the thing. Probably no one pays you.
Yeah, in the prison, nobody does that.
Exactly. Especially if you're a little pimp-squeak.
I actually think that's a fictional made-up job title in the prison.
They're probably just like the prison accountant. That's what they are.
No, they're betting with other inmates. And they're still not paying each other. And then you basically start a fight.
Like, I'll give you four cigarettes if you can punch Billy in the nuts.
Something like that.
Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Or put your wagering cigarettes on your outdoor hoops game in the yard. Or who can bench more.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That seems like a least attractive job that I would want. But anyways, my overall arching theme is I think I would be a good prisoner.
I kind of buy that though, because you would survive it. I think.
I definitely think I would. Who would be the least to survive at the station?
At this station.
At this station, it could be hosts. It can be off-air people.
Could it be an intern?
intern John.
Johnny
would have a in his mouth so quick in jail.
Poor John, he'd be in so much trouble.
Oh my god, he would be somebody's bitch in 2 seconds. I feel so bad. Because he's a sleight of frame guy. Yeah. He has a kind of a girlish figure.
The dominant factor too. Poor guy.
Oh my, he would be used and abused.
No, also,
I think Chris Russell would have a hard time in prison.
He would, because he can't say no. And like, he would just be doing too many favors, and at some point they're going to take advantage of you.
Do you think anyone would be better than me in prison?
At this station? Ah, man.
I think Beamish would be good.
Beamish would be good, because I mean, like, who's going to beat him in a fight?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Like, he's probably just...
He doesn't take any S from anybody.
Exactly, yeah. Like, he's going to go in there, and first off, I feel like all the prisoners are probably NFL fans, right? Like, I feel like if you're in prison, you watch the NFL. So they're going to love it. They're going to... Like, I don't know. Like, the longest yard, all they do is watch NFL.
The longest yard on your brain. Yeah.
That's the only sniff of prison I've gotten.
You think prison has fantasy football going on?
Honestly, they could. They could. They got computers there.
Do you think they remember the 92 Redskins team?
I don't know.
In prison?
I don't know. They could. They could easily. Plus, he's going to go in there. He's like, yeah, like I'm second all time in all purpose yards.
No,
they would love him.
No, if you're a celebrity, that would hurt you.
Really?
I feel like if you're a celebrity in prison, that's a bad thing.
No, he'd be fine. He'd do just fine. He'd do just fine.
You know what? Tweet us at Bit Season. You can tell us who do you think would be best in prison. Yeah. Who do you think would be worst in prison?
Anyone at the station.
Anyone at the station would be worse. I mean, you look around here, the people wouldn't survive.
Oh my God. So
I feel like Cakes would be good in prison.
I feel like he would, too.
Because he's a man of routine, and he hates confrontation.
That's true. I could see that. I could see that. But then...
Because he was in a coffin for 5 days.
Yeah, that's right.
So he could definitely do some time in solitary.
That's true. How do we feel about our guy, Drab? How do you think he's doing in prison?
Oh, my God. I swear to God, some gang member sees those lips on him.
Oh, those pretty blue eyes. Yeah.
They see those blue eyes and those lips. And all of a sudden, he's going to be somebody's girlfriend.
Yeah. And it's not going to be his choice.
Yeah, not my choice. Those lips and those man tits.
I'm not going to lie. I'm not taking my shirt off once in prison.
Oh, yeah. You're going to shower with your shirt on?
Shirt on. Shirt on the entire time.
All right. Anyways, just tweet us your suggestions at Bit Season. So they're funny to read over.
They are.
But anyways, when we come back, speaking of intern John, he was talking about his peanut allergy. So we'll talk to him about that. And we'll talk about him getting dumped for the first time on air.
Yikes.
When we come back.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Welcome back to Bit Season episode 47. We brought in Lindsey John
Johnny.
Intern, Johnny. I don't know.
Johnny.
Because we're talking about your final meal during execution. And John had a good story about, or not a good story, but like a good observation about his peanut allergy.
Yes.
And that would be your final meal.
Yeah.
So you would have a PB&J.
Or more of a Reese's peanut butter cup is what I was thinking.
Because everyone raves about
Because everyone raves about them. And I always, like, I've always wanted to try one. When people, like, would have them at lunch, I'd always feel bad about myself. And so
I feel bad.
So you would feel bad about yourself?
Just not being able to try what everybody said was so good. And, like, it's the same thing with Snickers, too. Like, I try to tell myself that the Milky Way was the same, just without the, you know.
Yeah, so when you're angry.
It's fine.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
Hey, Halloween's got to kill him, though.
Oh, my God.
Like,
so many peanut butter snacks.
That's got to be the worst holiday ever in your life.
Yeah, it is. There was just this old, like, a-hole, like, right near where I lived, and I, like, knocked on his door. I was, like, 5 years old, and it was, like, 7 o'clock, but for him, it was, like, 2. Like, all the lights were off,
That sounds like me. Yeah.
And then he opened up the door and, like, screamed at me and just, like, slapped a big Reese's peanut butter cup in my hand and, like, slammed the door into my face. So then my dad and I, every time we'd, like, drive past his house, just, like, lean on the horn for, like, the next 3 years.
Did you have to go to the hospital?
No. Like, it was still in the wrapper, but it was like I was hoping to get some candy, and like this old dude just yelled at me.
Does he know that you have a peanut allergy?
He's probably dead.
Oh,
that's nice of you. When you're a kid,
he was like 90 years old.
Did you have to go tell everybody when you did trick or treat that?
Oh yeah,
I have a peanut allergy.
Yeah.
That's gonna be so emasculating as a child.
God, that sucks.
And I'd get stuck with like a Mounds bar or something.
you know what the worst part is? You're knocking on the door in your trick or treating, and you're dressed like up as Superman. And then Superman has to go tell this little old lady, I can't have these Reese's Pieces because I'm going to break out in hives and die. So basically, you're Superman, and peanut butter is actually your kryptonite.
Yeah, I never thought of it.
Like, you can't be some superhero walking around.
No, I was Robin for Halloween.
Robin looks like a guy that would be allergic to peanut butter.
He really does. Yeah.
Robin seems like a peanut allergy kind of guy.
Yeah, and then there's the second tier where it's like kind of like crappy candy, but it's like an Almond Joy. And then they're like, oh, I'm allergic to that, so they give you like three little Gobstopper chewy things. It was just the absolute worst. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Like, let me ask you something.
Like a thick Skittle. But with no flavor.
Let me ask, how'd you find out you have a peanut allergy?
Well, like, find out the hard way.
You find out and you just start breaking out some hives?
Nowadays, just get rashes on your balls.
Did you have a point in life to where you actually liked peanuts?
No. No, I didn't.
Well, nowadays they do tests for all.
Yeah,
the kids.
I got allergy.
Yeah, they do. That's what they do because they're all afraid.
Just stuff peanut butter down its face.
I know. If I ever have a kid, I'm just going to like pry its jaw open and shove peanut butter down. Because I don't know if I could deal with a peanut butter allergy.
You couldn't deal with it.
No, I couldn't. I couldn't live that way.
You know what I like to do? I like to take a scoop of peanut butter at night as my dessert.
Oh.
And just eat it off, lick it off the spoon.
Yeah.
Dessert.
Yeah, that's my dessert.
My first grade PE teacher ate peanut butter out of a jar with a ruler.
Oh, God.
That
seems like a hazard.
Was he old?
No. He was like in his like late 20s, early 30s.
Was he jacked or fat?
He was jacked.
I'm sure. I'm so sure.
I feel like, trust me, it takes all the willpower known to man to not go in for a second spoonful.
Here's, I just do it with my finger. It's not. I do it. It's my own personal peanut butter jar. I go in, finger, lick it up, go back in there for more. It's just so, it just feels amazing going in there.
John, do you have to, excuse my ignorance, my peanut allergy ignorance. Do you have to, like, when you go out to eat, alert the waiter and everybody just it's almost like you need like the Star of David when you're Jewish back then, like they label you as allergic to peanuts.
He's like a tattoo on
forehead. You need some sort of marking just for everyone to know.
But,
don't you
like,
feel bad?
Like a peanut with a cross?
Yeah,
like, like with an X or
yeah, an X through a peanut. And you got to walk around with one eyes. Doesn't it feel bad, though? You got to tell
person? Yeah. And because one of the things that it kind of tends to happen, too, is like if you tell them, the food usually takes a little bit longer. So when you're holding everybody up, you know, because they got to mark with the peanut allergy.
Oh, yeah. To a big family dinner and everyone's looking at you because...
At least there's more than one. Like my brother and I have a peanut allergy in the family, so at least it's not just me. But yeah, it's
just
rough.
As bad as yours?
Like it is.
Like, if I wanted to kill your entire family, I would just.
Well, you wouldn't be able to kill my sister, my dad, or my mom.
Thank you.
I know, work with me here.
Okay.
I would rub peanut butter all over your doorknob.
Yeah.
Doorknob. Everyone touches it, breaks out knives in the Lindsay family. Yeah. That's
rub it in her bed sheets.
Well, so, I didn't know how to get peanut oil. So I figured I'd put it on their doorknob.
Yeah. So you've never experimented peanut butter on your dong with your dog?
Of course you say that.
Ryan, a little American pie.
Honestly, you're the type of guy that would say that.
I did not. It's just some kids have done it. It's not me. I can tell you that.
I feel bad because you're missing out on the best desserts in the world.
Peanut butter.
Mainly because I hate chocolate. So peanut butter is my alternative.
But that was a good question, right? Like, have you seen Horrible Bosses, the movie?
I've heard of it.
Well, so you know how they try to kill their bosses?
Yes.
Well, so he accidentally like gives one of the bosses like a peanut allergy, and the guy's about to die, and he like stabs him with an EpiPen and like saves him. And then he's like, "Oh wait, I should have killed this guy." So I was wondering, like, if my last meal was a Reese's peanut butter cup, and then I just broke, like I was gonna die, would they resuscitate me and then put me in the electric chair, or would they just let me die?
I think they would. I think they would just let you die.
Yeah.
All right, and then they would save on their electric bill.
That'll save us $1.98 in taxes.
A jolt of electricity.
But then you go, anybody else?
Yeah. Anyone need any peanuts? Yeah. But I don't know. John, you had
What are you doing on a plane?
Oh,
you know what? I bet everyone's so pissed off at you. I look forward to my peanuts.
Yeah, well, no.
Cracking peanuts on a plane hit different.
If you were eating peanuts in front of me, for starters, I probably wouldn't even know. But second of all, there's nothing I can do about that. Like in school growing up, people would have peanut butter next to me, but like, God, I felt like such a loser. But like, they just like, I'd have to tell them to like wash their hands or something if they were going to like give me like a high five or something.
Do you remember Tom, don't you? Tom
Daly? Of course.
You don't know Tom, but Tom had a nut allergy, a deathly nut allergy.
Yeah.
Everyone here does.
So I almost killed Tom I would have, you know, peanuts.
Yeah.
I'd bring in some peanuts and then I would run the board and then Tom would run the board after me. So Tom's touching the same peanut. So Tom's touching the same peanut buttons I'm touching. All right. Then all of a sudden his lip swells up like he's Eddie Murphy on Nutty Professor. All right. And like he's Buddy Love. Boom. His lip starts swelling up. He can't breathe. And then he's choking to death. And then I didn't realize I was killing Tom. Until after he notified everyone that he has a nut allergy tree nut allergy.
And then the funny thing about it is
is one of the other producers tried saying, "Tom, you're just trying to get out of work." he thought he was faking a nut allergy, and he's on a gurney.
His lips all puffed up, and everyone's like, "You're trying to fake it."
He looks purple because he can't breathe because his trachea is swollen.
No, but Darius also, who I work with daily, has a nut allergy. And so I can't tell, like, I'm a big peanut guy as well. Like, I'll bring him in coming after from Nat's Park. I'll have extra peanuts and I'll bring him over here as a snack.
I feel like we need, society needs to segregate. All right. We need to segregate the nut allergy from the non-nut allergy.
You're
affecting my quality of life.
I like peanuts.
I would have a peanut every day if I could.
I would,
but
too.
But I can't now.
I would have... you know what? We should turn WJFK into a Texas Roadhouse environment and just have barrels of peanuts.
I'm all for everybody throws enough crap all
like
over
a five,
the floor.
Exactly,
anyway.
Like
this is already dirty enough.
So dumpy.
The Five Guys.
Yeah, a Five Guys
too. I would love to be a Five. Oh, that must be your hell.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
No, yeah.
You probably can never eat a Five Guys burger.
Yeah,
I can't. Everything is contaminated with nut and nut dust. All over the place.
Oh, God. That's not.
I want someone to isolate that.
Yeah, with nut dust.
Yeah. Like split the restaurant in two.
Yeah, split the restaurant in two.
See?
Yeah.
I feel bad. You'll never have a Five Guys burger ever.
Yeah.
That sucks.
You'll never eat at Roadhouse.
Have you been to Texas Roadhouse? Do you know their bit?
No, I haven't been there.
So what they do is, like, you can just crack peanut shells and throw them on the floor.
It's a classy establishment. It's
very classy. There has not been a single person with a peanut allergy to step foot into a Texas Roadhouse, because they'd be dead. They'd be so dead.
John's also, besides his nut allergy, he's been begging to tell this story about a diving board on air.
As
keeper of the gate... I've denied it, but I've told John.
I asked once.
Yeah, okay.
So I told John. I said you could tell it on Bit Season.
Yep.
So I want to hear. I want to hear this grand diving story.
All right. So
diving board story, I should say. Sorry.
So I've always been pretty naturally athletic guy, and I always would do.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh at you. All right. No, I see it.
All right.
You are. Yeah. I get it.
Around here, you're an Adonis.
Yeah.
Radio, B. Mitch, then you.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw people do them at the pool, so I would try to do, in my back, I would try on the trampoline, like front flips, back flips, side flips, and stuff like that. And it wasn't like perfect, like if you were on a dive team, but like I did the motions, just not like in a perfect ball or something. And so... And, like, I just, like, jump off of things, like, in the house. Like, I just, like, jump from the top stair once and, like, I just do, like, crazy things like that. But I was at the pool, and I was saying on the Junkies about my peanut allergy. I was with my dad when this happened, and this was, like, the second time where I had, like, an accident happen, and my dad... didn't want to take the blame, because the first time it happened was my mom said, "Dad, like, to my dad, can you like take care of the kids while we're like, while I go to this like baby shower?" And he's like, "Yeah." So we're at the pool and I'm doing my thing, you know, doing backflips and front flips off the diving board. And then I do a backflip off the diving board. I smack my face on the diving board.
So you come down and you hit the diving board.
I hit the diving board on my face. Yeah.
How old are you?
10.
Okay.
And I had the picture on my phone. Didn't I show it to you, Stallion?
You did show me.
Yeah.
You did show me the picture of him in a neck brace, and he's like all paralyzed, eyes shut, swollen on the hospital
bed. The worst part about it was more scary. Because it's like, I get out of the water, there's like blood all over my face and then the water. And the lifeguard didn't even jump in. Like, I just like swam over. My dad's
probably
like...
Probably just had peanuts, that's why. Yeah.
All right, so you bust your face open on the diving board in the pool. Are you passed out in the pool?
No. I swam over and got out of the ladder.
Tough guy. I like that. You swam... You said you didn't need the lifeguard.
Yeah, they wanted to put me in it. They were trying to be...
Although I'd be bitter if it was like a Wendy peppercorn situation and the lifeguard was hot and she had to come save you.
Yeah, John, you could have been a main character there.
That doesn't happen anymore. Like, the movies make things so unrealistic.
No, you're giving up on something. It very well could happen, John.
Well, it could, but they're not going to be hot like Wendy peppercorn.
Oh, yes, there are.
Is that the end of your diving story?
Yeah.
it smashed his face.
That was so anticlimactic.
There's just not much about it. Like,
this great diving story.
I didn't know about great diving stories. Because, see, Valdez kind of helps me sometimes because I get excited to say things. But I was like, I was probably really stupid and I shouldn't share that. So there you go. And they wanted to put me in a stretcher, but my dad just took me to the hospital and I was coked up on some Tylenol.
I'm trying to coach up John about timing.
Radio
instincts. Drab claims he's teaching him that, but it's not working.
let me ask John this. Who have you learned the most from at 106.7 The Fan?
Probably Valdez.
There we go. Okay. You know, okay.
This isn't a John thing, but I am so tired. I'm tired of everyone here not teaching John anything. Yeah. And how all of a sudden I've become this sensei that has to... that has to teach John every little aspect of radio.
But can I just say one thing? So I was listening. I'm a big fan of Bit Season. I was listening to the last podcast, and I know you guys. I know that because of my dad, I'm able to get the opportunity, but I am still trying to do the best with it and learn things. And I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job with that.
John.
The Lindsay stuff's tongue in cheek. Don't worry.
Exactly.
But you gotta figure out when we're being serious and when we're
But sometimes I do I don't know. I feel like people just are oh, and they just don't really care to teach me things.
No.
I want to know why. It's because, number one, most people are lazy.
Yeah.
Right? Especially in radio.
Landfill.
Most people are lazy.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, look around.
Exactly.
Just look around. Look. Take a minute and look around.
It's 600 pounds in that room over there with two people.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I apologize. But I'm angry at Drab.
Yeah.
I'm not angry at John because John doesn't know any better. He's trying to learn. I'm mad at Drab.
The assistant program director.
It's above teaching people. The guy that is begging people to work on weekends. All right. Will not go out of his way to teach someone to run the board, edit audio correctly, and everything like that.
Yeah. You know what? You bring up a good point too, because Drab confessed it to me when you were out. He was like, "Hey, if you can't work the junkies, I don't know how to run the board, and you're gonna have to teach me."
I don't want to teach Drab. I'm tired of teaching.
Here, I can tell you what you do. You press stack on, and then you get those four mics, and you turn them off. That's what you do.
Yeah, you know what? What does everyone say? A monkey can run the board.
Yeah, exactly. All right,
let's do it. Stop telling me it's hard to do it.
Exactly. It took me weeks to learn that thing.
Sorry, I'm just
it's funny.
I appreciate you learning very quickly too.
Yeah. Yes.
The worst part is when you have someone stupid. You tell them the same stuff over and over.
I did pretty good today.
You did great today.
Yeah, you had a good day.
Do you know what, John? It's so funny. So John has talked about this morning push that he helps out with, where he'll scavenge the New York Post, NFL.com.
Yeah.
But just he'll look for stuff that seems interesting, and we'll have him kind of just pitch it to us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sometimes he hits. Sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah.
More often than not, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But today, he had something that hit. We ran with it with the guys. We did it at 6:20.
Mm-hmm.
But since Drab is out, I'm not only doing all the commercial stuff, but I'm doing a lot of the rundown.
Rundown, yeah.
And so John says to me, he goes, "Hey, I'll take care of the rundown."
No. I did not say that.
Buddy.
I looked at him.
I said, I can help. I said, "Do you want me to help with the rundown?"
No, said,
and I was going to, I was just going to put together,
I swear to God.
I was just going to copy and paste the link that you wanted me to put it on the doc so you didn't have to
He was going to put together a 12 segment morning drive show for Washington, D.C. after doing this for 2.5 months.
Yeah.
I actually felt offended.
I wasn't going to do that.
It wasn't John. It was the fact that Drab told John. Hey,
yeah,
you just as well as Drab.
That's what happened.
Did Drab tell you that?
Drab said you need to help out with the rundown. Yeah. Yeah, and he sent me the links and stuff.
If I were to be filling in for Drab, I told Valdez, "Hey, I'll do the rundown," he'd look at me the same way. He'd be like, "Are you kidding? I can't do that. I've been here for 3 years." You're like, "You got nothing."
It's funny.
But the confidence, though. Yeah, the confidence. That's good.
I appreciate that. And he's learning. We're doing stuff. After I did the entire rundown, I gave it to him. And I showed him. I said, this is what I have.
Yeah.
And he kind of got to see what the guys did off the rundown. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of picks what is good, what isn't good. I think he's definitely gotten better at that.
Yes.
I will say, because some of the stuff you would pick about,
Thomas Bryant.
The Wizards traded for.
No, I was like the Lakers. Card. I said,
okay.
Okay.
No, because I was like the Lakers signed Thomas Bryant. And they're like, who's that? Who is that?
All right, you just took up about 15 seconds of that segment. How are you going to fill the rest of that 15 minutes up?
All right. I don't know if this is just me like being on the inside, but like when we have a situation like that to where you have a young person on mic who doesn't really understand fully with the radio game.
That was my first day.
And exactly. That was your first day. And you just say, Thomas Bryant got signed by the Lakers. Awkwardness there is pretty funny.
He's understanding.
He is.
And then also, you got to keep in mind that he's green too.
Yep.
Like that's my big thing is that I just expect him to all of a sudden run with the varsity out the gate.
Yeah, like I don't even know if I'd be considered a varsity producer. Takes a while. I mean, I don't know. Am I?
I think
not varsity. Not varsity.
No,
yeah.
A swing JV varsity player.
Exactly. I think I could fill in every now and then.
I think you would be fine. I think most people would be fine putting together the show. What separates, I think, Drab and myself is that our understanding of the Junkies is a lot greater than
anyone else. Exactly.
Like we know it hits better.
Yep.
Like we know, you know, we know what has worked in the past and what can get the guys talking. I think that's our biggest strength.
You know what, though? I will say, so then this will be my last thing that I'll go, but I was
we're teaching him timing.
Yeah, yeah. He's not gonna blow out a clock. Yeah.
So when they were like my first day, they're like, I'm worried about like the locker room talk, stays in the locker room. I feel really bad for Drab and Valdez some days. Like they'll come up with really good segments and they'll tee off the Junkies and the Junkies will like, who's Nick Chubb? Like they have like no idea. Like or they just like
compliment us more.
Say
it a little bit longer.
No, it's like another segment. Yeah. Well, so like I got here today at like 5:07 and you're already here, right? Like you guys get and like JP is strolling in at like 5:58 some days and then just like I don't know like I and then like they sometimes like come they're like brainstorming questions and they give like they're just teeing them off like such an easy layup and then Cakes goes like I pooped in the woods today
so your overarching theme is what you're trying to say is you feel Drab and myself are underappreciated.
Underappreciated and a little bit disrespected.
See? Yeah.
Disrespected.
I think Drab and Valdez should be on the big board. Like if they did like a Hollywood sign to the Junkies, they should be in there too. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hey, you know what we're gonna teach you tomorrow? We're gonna teach you tomorrow to stay in your lane.
Hey, he's getting pretty good at picking these things up.
We're going to teach you that tomorrow. All right, thank you, Johnny.
Yes, Johnny.
All right, that's it for Bit Season this weekend. We should have a full crew back next week. We'll have a medium/large announcement.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we want to thank our friends over at SeatGeek. Use the promo code Bit Season. I'm going to the Orioles game on Saturday.
There you go.
I'm going with a buddy, and I made that person use BitSeason 20 to save us money on club level seats.
You know what? I'm going to do the same. I'm going to go to a sporting event this weekend, and I'm going to download SeatGeek and use that promo code.
Anyways, thank you guys for listening, and I know it wasn't the full crew, wasn't the full show, but hopefully we entertained you for an hour. But we'll talk to you next week. Thank you for listening. See ya.
See ya.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
This is the sound of captivity.
This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Odyssey celebrates Father's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.